Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we come to you this morning in thankfulness for another day. Another day in worship, another day in community, another day of life. And Lord, we pray that as we worship you this morning, that we would be led closer to you, that you would draw us closer to you. Lord, we pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit on each of us here and on this place. We pray that we would move out of the way so that you might move in your way in us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we lift this prayer up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if my prayer is working. Why doesn't God hear me? Am I praying the right way? These are statements and questions that I've heard in the past month from people here, people elsewhere, and questions that I have asked myself over the course of my life. Maybe you have too. These are common questions surrounding how we should pray and why prayer is or isn't working. And this week, we look at just a small section of Matthew's gospel. So small, in fact, that it's only 4 verses. And we look at this to think about how we should be praying, about how to pray. Now, this is interesting because Jesus here in this chapter is teaching his disciples. He's instructing them about prayer, about fasting, about almsgiving. Giving on top of your tithe is what that almsgiving means. And it seems based on this text that Jesus is more concerned how they shouldn't pray, how they shouldn't do this thing we call prayer, than about how they should, which is interesting. And so if we look at it more closely, in verse 5, Jesus says, "Don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray at the synagogues and the street corners so that they may be seen by others. They have received their reward." And then in verse 7, skipping to verse 7, Jesus says, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans," or Gentiles in other translations, "for they think they will be heard because of their many words." And in verse 8, "And don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And we're going to get to verse 6 in a minute because that's more of the how-to section of this. But 5, 7, and 8 are about how not to pray. And I think it's important to know this, to look at this, and to understand this at its core is what Jesus is talking about. And you see, it seems to me as I read this, as I studied over it and prayed over it, I see a theme there. I see a theme in this. Can you see it? The theme to me, or the focus of praying correctly versus not praying correctly or incorrectly, is in the motive of the prayer, or the motivation behind the prayer. That's the core of how to pray and consequently how not to pray. You see, the hypocrites, Jesus says, they want to be seen praying by others. So they stand on the street corners and they pray aloud and proud in public. And likewise in verse 7, the Gentiles or the pagans, they want to persuade God with their intentions and their many words. It was a common practice for people to pray in the synagogues and the temples and for religious leaders to do that there. But see, Jesus isn't talking about that, really. He's talking more about those who would want to draw attention to themselves. or make themselves sound good and not for God per se. They wanted to sound good not for God, but for sake of the others, to please others, to make others say, "Oh, that was an excellent prayer you prayed, Rabbi so-and-so. That just sounded so good." We fall into this too. But pride and ego is their motivation in this. But God, Jesus said, God doesn't care about any of that. Jesus tells his followers in verse 6 what is expected, what is the right way to pray. He says to them in verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." We had our first session of Before Amen Bible study this week, and we have two sections in that, as I said earlier, the 10:30 and the 7 p.m. And one of the common threads that we discussed in those sections was just how we don't like to pray in public. How we don't like to pray in public, you know? It's the worst thing to be somewhere and in our minds anyway, and for someone to say, "Hey, so-and-so, would you pray for us out loud?" Yeah. Yeah. Anybody get anxious about that here? Yeah. Yeah, so that was something that kept coming up. And so we're worried about it, I think, because we say in our minds, one of the reasons is we say, will we say enough? You know, will we say all of the right words? What if we forget something? What if we forget that thing, whatever it is, or that person? And the list goes on and on and on. And that's just on top of the general anxiousness of public speaking, right? I know a few of us are anxious about that. But you see, Jesus is saying, wait. Why are you anxious? Who are you praying to? Who are you praying to? Why? Why are you praying? What's the purpose of your prayer? What is your motivation for this prayer, for praying? And I think our motivation for prayer sometimes, because we just forget this, becomes wanting to please others, to hear that, to get that pat on the back. "Wow, that was a great prayer," you know? Wanting other people to like us. And I think that brings a lot of the anxiety we have with this public prayer, with our prayer life in general. It can become too easy to be motivated to sound good for others. You know, we want to make up the best prayer. We want to be the best prayers. If we could, we would pray the perfect prayer ourselves. But we know that there's no such thing, is there? Other than that from the Lord and the Lord's Prayer. And so then our motivations in these moments, they can become wrong. They can be more about the street corner than the closet. And so our anxiousness might be representative of who we are trying to please. And Jesus, here in this passage, is calling us out on it. And he's also reminding us in love at the same time to not concern ourselves with that or with what others think about us. He's saying, don't make prayer a production for the satisfaction of those who might hear it. That's not how to pray. But make it satisfying to me. And by that, just come and talk to me. You know, we get so caught up in the perfection with prayer when God just wants us. God just wants you and I to just come and talk to Him, to pray to Him, to communicate, to go. God just wants us to pray from our hearts, to not be concerned with what others think or say. God already knows what we need before we ask, so if we forget that person, God knows before we ask. That's what verse 8 says. God just wants us to come, to ask, to thank, to praise, come to Him and to trust Him. God just wants us to trust Him. And that is what prayer is about. It's about trust. It's about saying, God, I don't know why my Aunt Betty is sick, but I trust her with You. Or I don't know why I have this pain in my side at night, but God, I trust You. Lord, help me. It's saying, I don't know why the world seems to be falling apart, but I know You. And more importantly, You know me and You love me. And You know this world, and very, very literally, the world is in You, and You hold the world in place. I trust that You are doing good for the world. That is prayer. It's saying, I don't know why, but Lord, I know that You do, and I trust You in that. The motivation for that kind of prayer is much different than for one who's trying to be seen by others on the street corner. It's praying from the closet of your heart. And so then, how do we pray? It isn't so much, I think, about going into a room and shutting a door, or getting on our knees, or sitting crisscrossed, or standing in some particular way of any of that. But it's more concerned with the heart. When we go to God with an open heart, a repentant heart, which means a trusting heart, we're saying we're not in control, but You are in control. We aren't trying to convince God to give us what we want. We don't try to say Lord or God or whatever name or title or attribute that we give God enough time so that we can butter Him up to give us what we want. It isn't about that. But we go and we talk with Him. We lay it down. We don't hold back. We don't try to do anything that would make us sound good or look good. But we only be ourselves. And put it all into our Father's hands and know that God is God alone. And so how to pray isn't as difficult as we might make it, whether we're alone or whether we're in public, because there's no right or wrong way to pray, per se. In the Bible study, Max Lucado has this great quote, and I just want to share it with all of you. He says, just as a happy child cannot miss hug, the sincere heart cannot miss pray. Just as a happy child cannot miss hug, the sincere heart cannot miss pray. The heart is the key to correct or right prayer. There's no wrong way to pray with a sincere heart. The motive is the key. And so my prayer is that we would all, that you and I, that we would all go to God with a sincere heart, whether it's in your closet or whether it's in public, when someone asks you to pray on the spot. That in that prayer, public or private, that you and I would only seek God and tell Him all of your cares, all of our concerns, all of our joys, all of our pains, not seeking anything, but just growing in relationship with Him. And in that, we are told we will be rewarded. That is prayer. That is how to pray. Amen.